Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Today, myself, Jay and Buster, are delighted to welcome along Andrew Patterson, first guest of the new season. Andy, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Pleasure.
Well, for the second successive week, we're recording on the back of an emphatic four-goal victory. Yesterday, it was a 4-0 victory over Morton. And Jay, it was a highly satisfying afternoon. The performance levels were very good. We can't get too ahead of ourselves, obviously, because we are only two games into the competitive season, but there's a lot of positive signs at Firpart just now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're right, you don't want to get too carried away. Not only as early on in the season, it's, you know, the players aren't going to be quite, you know, at their peak yet. It's still, there's still a sort of a friendly feel about these League Cup group games. And, you know, no disrespect to Morton or Queen's Park last week, but it's not the greatest opposition that we're going to face this season. And in particular, I was actually quite disappointed. Well, not necessarily disappointed, because it meant we could go on and hammer them. But, you know, I expected a lot more from Morton. I thought Morton looked pretty decent for large spells last season. And I was quite surprised at just how poor they were. So you don't want to get too carried away. That said, a lot of what we did that was good yesterday was just good regardless of the opposition. We were playing football that would have been, you know, really great one touch, you know, good movement, nice wee touches here and there, a couple of back heels, you know, a lot of things we were doing. You know, I don't think it really mattered who the opposition were. We were still playing well. We were still creating lots of chances. It's another game that we've stuck away, you know, for a good number of goals, and the goals have come from different areas. You know, that's 2 weeks in a row that we've started the game with Louis Moult on the bench, and we've only actually thrown him on for the last 10, 15 minutes, and yet we've scored 9 goals. And I think if last season, that probably would have been unthinkable. You probably wouldn't have seen a Motherwell side going out and scoring 9 goals without Louis Moult being in it. And again, you know, the opposition hasn't been great, but you still need to create those chances and you still need to take them. And it's encouraging to see that we're actually, you know, creating chances and scoring goals that are coming from all over the park. And I think a lot of the players, you know, it's positive stuff. You know, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of passing and movement. I think all over the park there was really, you know, real positives to take from it. So certainly not getting carried away, but on the flip side, you know, there's a lot to be optimistic about going into this season.
Buster, 5 new signings started the game yesterday, and then Andy Rose also made an appearance from the bench. And I think they'll be very happy with their efforts and their home debuts. Charles Dunn opening the scoring after just 3 minutes, and he looked very solid, very composed at the back, as did Cedric Kirprey. You've then got Gael Bigorama in the midfield, who looks like a great player. I actually said last night when I was discussing the game that it feels like, despite the fact that he didn't actually do anything spectacular yesterday, he just moved the ball on nicely, he linked well and seems to have a good understanding with Carroll McHugh. He looks like a real find and a player of real calibre. Then, out with the new signings, I actually thought that Ryan Bowman continued to his pre-season form. He obviously made an appearance from the bench against Queen's Park and grabbed a brace, but his effort and his endeavour and even just his kind of demeanour as well, he looks a much more confident player. And we said last week that it was really important that Bowman did kick on and staked a claim for a place this season, and I certainly think he did that yesterday, despite the fact he didn't manage to hit the net.
Well, yeah, I can't really disagree with anything you've said there. The, you know, Ryan Bowman, I thought he played pretty well as well. He's still got a wee bit of issue with his timing, his jumping, timing headers and things like that, I think. But I don't think the punting the ball at him's going to work in our favour anyway. As you mentioned, the other players, you know, Charles Dunn. Again, he didn't really put a foot wrong. I think his pace is going to be his biggest asset. I think I said to Jay yesterday during the game and all, you know, even if he's not the greatest at the other things, he's got the pace that he can, if, you know, if he has the, he can make up for any sort of mistakes or, you know, get back quickly if he has to. The same way sort of maybe Mark Reynolds did, you know, when he was 20-21 when he played with us as well. Bigorama seems like a great player, to be honest with you. I thought he'd sit back a lot more than he seems to be doing, but the way we seem to be setting up in there is, you know, Carroll McHugh does a sort of sitting, basically stays in the centre of the park, Bigger Arm and Cadden seem to get a wee bit of running about, do whatever they want sort of thing. And as you say, Kipre, whatever it is.
Oh, we'll,
Cedric.
We'll call him Cedric for now.
I was going to say, I've got to call him Cedric.
Pronunciations over the course of this season.
For the next 12 months, I'll call him Cedric. I think he actually looks like a very decent player. He looks very confident on the ball. You know, he's not put a foot wrong yet, I don't think. But that sort of goes along with what Jay was saying there. We need disrespect to the opposition. We have played Morton, Queen's Park. We've not exactly been really tested. It's interesting to see that when we do have the ball as well, as Jay says, you know, we're playing some very nice football, very patient football. We're building it from the back. The back three are quite happy to knock it amongst themselves. McHugh's coming short, Bigger Arm is coming short, Cadden's coming short, you know, so there's six or seven players who are taking the ball back, starting at the back, basically knocking it amongst themselves. They're even going back to the goalkeeper at times, going wide, making angles for the goalkeeper so he plays it short as well. It's encouraging to see, but again, I think I said it yesterday during the game. It'll be interesting to see that once we, you know, raise the level of our opponents, even against, say, like a Partick Thistle, a Dundee, a St Johnston, it'll be interesting to see if that's how we still plan and go, which clearly looks like it is, but it'll be interesting to see if we're as confident and as if we can do it as easily against the bigger teams. And, you know, Rangers will be a, despite the fact, you know, Rangers appear to be in their own wee bit of trouble now as well, it's not going to be an easy game come that first sort of league game. So it'll be interesting to see once we actually play teams in the Premiership or the Premier League or whatever it's called these days, if we still continue to do that and if we can still continue to do it the way we are doing it at the moment. But other than that, as I say, it's been very encouraging, and it's good to see.
Andy, I missed out Craig Tanner and Trevor Carson as the two starting home debutants yesterday. Alex Fisher also came off the bench. I had actually forgotten that, to be honest. Carson looks good with the ball at his feet as well. Took everything cleanly that came at him. But to be fair, I don't think he was overly worked over the course of the 90 minutes. Then Craig Tanner, I thought, was absolutely outstanding. Between him and Chris Cadden, for me, for man of the match. But I would say that Tanner perhaps just edged it. He got an assist for Chris Cadden's goal to make it 2-0. A very good debut and a promising player that looks like he might actually get fans out their seat. Pretty exciting winger.
Yeah, taking Trevor Carson first. As you say, in our previous kind of two games, he's not had a huge amount to deal with. I think back last week, what was quite encouraging was we had basically most of the game, probably most of the game anyway, but albeit that, you know, Queen's Park had scored against us, he made a decent fist at keeping that one out. It was unfortunate, but it was perhaps significant that it was almost like another hour before he had a save of note to make, you know, when he pulled one off right to the death. So good to see that the concentration levels are high. You know, it may be easy just to kind of switch off a wee bit when you've nothing to do. We didn't really see him doing too much yesterday. He wasn't required to do too much. Early pointers you can take beyond that. His distribution looked fairly decent as well at times. So that could be a positive. Particularly if we're going to play a possession-based game. Moving on to Craig Tanner, really liked the look of him since he came in. And I think I mentioned the forum Steelman Online last week that early kind of indications reminded me slightly of Nicky Law. Now, it remains to be seen if he reaches the same level as Nicky Law did, but during Law's time with us, he kind of evolved into a kind of similar role that Tanner has been playing, you know, in his early games with us. You know, the ability to kind of float about the park with an element of freedom where they can come into proceedings with touches here and there. We've already seen him, you know, getting the score sheet last week as well. So that's definitely a positive in terms of creativity, and there's a good bit of variation in there. He moved to the kind of left wing as well. So there's options here in terms of his position, if he's being a wee bit more structured than where he's going to be playing. But if he's given that kind of license to roam, that bit of freedom, it does look as if there's a potential there to cause teams a bit of damage and certainly add to our options, you know, creative-wise. So definitely look as if there are a couple of decent signings based on the very early showings that we've seen so far.
Jay, given the changes that were made to the starting 11 yesterday as well, there does seem to be a wee bit more strength and depth. We talked last season, and I think at times, well, you look at, for example, Karim McHugh having to play at centre-back, it was maybe a stage where we were having to play players in unfamiliar positions because we had no other option. That doesn't seem to be the case this season. We've already discussed it. That's now 2 weeks in the trot that Louis Moult's come off the bench. That's a hell of a sub to have, certainly, and I know that there's obviously reasons for Moult being on the bench, given that he's just recovering from surgery, but we do seem to have that wee bit more in terms of options if the chips are down or if the manager just fancies a fresh approach. So that's yet another reason to be quite encouraged.
Yeah, I think overall, obviously it's really early doors, but I think overall, I would say that, you know, the squad, both in terms of the quality that we can put out in a starting 11 and the strength and depth, is already far ahead of what it was at any point last season. You know, I think that's not to get ahead with ourselves and expect that we're going to, you know, be far better this season. It remains to be seen how things will click and you know, injury suspensions and all that will come into it, but I look at the squad now and, you know, considering we're still looking for an attacker and a defender, you know, it remains to be seen whether we'll get those two players and whether MDL will move on. But by and large, you're right. I mean, you look at the team yesterday, the starting lineup, I think, was a strong one. It wasn't, you know, the changes that were made weren't necessarily made, you know, because it was a friendly feel to the game or to give other players a run out. You know, Ryan Bowman started the game on merit, having scored twice against Queen's Park, and the rest of the team was a very strong team. You know, you look at that midfield, the midfield with, you know, Freer on one side, Tate on the other, Cadden, Tanner, Bigiriana and McHugh is probably as strong as you're going to get in that area. The back three, again, you know, you could argue Hamill might come in at some point, McManus when he's fit, but it's still, you know, three of your first team defenders there. So it was a strong lineup, and yet you were still able to bring on Alex Fisher, who, you know, will be in and around the first team and you would hope will contribute with a few goals this season. Andy Rose, who, you know, I'm still waiting to, you know, obviously see him settle in and see what he's got to offer, but he's obviously been signed for the first team. And as you said, Louis Moult, who, you know, as our talisman. And then even then, you're not including guys like, you know, McLean, Campbell, you know, a few of the younger guys who can also come in and do a job. And as I said, even Hamill and McManus, who didn't feature. So in terms of strength and depth, I think that, you know, Robinson, obviously, when he was given the job, divided opinion. A lot of folk were quite happy with it, thought it was a decent appointment. I think a lot of folk felt it was maybe a lazy or a cheap appointment. And a lot of people kept going back to, you know, his previous job and the rebuilding job he had to do and how that didn't particularly go well. I think you've got to look at this stage and commend Stephen Robinson for the rebuilding job he's done. You know, it's a hell of a job he would have had to rebuild this squad, because it wasn't just guys moving on. You know, it was deadwood. You know, Mark McGee had managed to build a squad that narrowly avoided relegation come the end of the season after he'd moved on, and was full of deadwood. You know, guys like Lee Lucas, you know, Pearson was terrible when he came back. You know, just a lot of players that just shouldn't have been in and around the club. And I think regardless of, you know, obviously there's a lot, you need to wait and see how it goes, but the signs are all positive. And I think, you know, the strength and depth that we've got, the competition for places, the camaraderie, I think, has been discussed a lot in a lot of the pre-season interviews on MFC TV, particularly by the new players. Even the way the goals were celebrated yesterday, you can see that already early on, there seems to be a good team spirit. You know, the players all seem to be in it together. And I think at this stage, you know, before a ball's been kicked in terms of the league campaign, I think Stephen Robinson deserves a lot of credit so far for the squad he's managed to piece together.
Buster, two games in the coming week. We start at Ainslie Park on Tuesday against Edinburgh City, and then play host to Berwick Rangers on Saturday. Two games, that on paper we really should be looking to take the 6 points to finish with 100% record in the group. Yesterday, Edinburgh City lost 3-0 at Queen's Park, who I think we can all agree were pretty average when we came up against them last week, and obviously won by 5-1. So you'd expect a victory there. It'll not be straightforward. They'll be up for it against Premiership opposition, but you would hope to see a few guys that haven't maybe been given the chance to feature so far given a wee run out. But by the same token, you want to carry on that momentum that we've built in the first couple of games of the group stages and get these guys just that wee bit more sharper.
Again, I think everything you say there is just about right.
I'm having a good night tonight.
Yeah, there's no reason why we shouldn't go out there. And again, I would even say look to score, you know, 4 or 5 goals against both of these teams in the upcoming fixtures. And as we touched on it last week, and as Jay touched on it as well, these are competitive games, but there's still that wee bit of a pre-season feel to them. Because it's so early in the summer, and because, you know, you get maybe 2 or 3 friendlies and then you're straight into the competitive games. I said it last year, you know, I enjoyed it. It's much better than us trawling through meaningless shite friendlies against, you know, West Ham's reserves or something like that, you know. So I think it's good that these games are competitive. As you said, you want to maybe try and see guys like Andy Rhodes, for example. As Jay mentioned, he was signed for the first team. You've got to kind of feel sorry for him, I think. Well, so far, at least, you know, he might force his way into the team later. But with Cadden, Bigorama and McHugh all playing that sort of central role, maybe even Tanner as well, if Andy Rhodes can play a bit further forward behind the striker. You've got to feel sorry for him, because they 4 players, you know, have been sort of the standouts so far. So it'd be interesting to see. It might be nice to see if he gets a bit of a chance for the start, show what he can do. But as you said as well, at the same time, you've got to take these games seriously. Put out what you think maybe your best 11 on the day. And as I said, you know, it won't be easy. But I'd like to think we could maybe score 4 or 5 goals again Tuesday night, especially. And it's upsetting that Berwick, you know, wasn't away. I think when we drew Berwick in the group, everybody wanted a day out to Berwick. But, you know, home game, another opportunity to score 5 or 6 goals, hopefully. And, you know, that those sort of results put us in the right mind for the season coming up.
It was pretty strange to hear you kind of badmouth friendlies there, because you and Jay certainly seem to enjoy Stirling Albion away, but we'll
the game wasn't great, aye.
The League Cup kind of has thrown us up a group of promising away days and delivered very little, I suppose. The day at Hampden was nice, but I think Edinburgh City, you would have hoped it would have been on the Saturday, as would have. And then an away fixture, as Buster mentioned, to Berwick. But having said, we go there on Tuesday night, and I think following the last two games, it's one that a lot of Motherwell fans will be looking forward to, and seeing the guys hopefully go out, score a few more goals and continue the good performances and continue that feel-good factor as well.
That's right. I suppose it's swings and roundabouts in a sense. You look at kind of some of the groups in there, and I was having a wee look at the Morton Forum earlier on today, and they were bemoaning the fact that it looked like here was the easiest group, as they saw out of all the kind of sections, and they don't look as if they're going to qualify it. And that's a group that has kind of Queen's Park and Berwick in it. I mean, you can compare maybe like Hibs and two, well, as we had last season, you know, you had two Premier League teams. And so I suppose where we might have benefited from the kind of calibre of the opposition, we've maybe missed out, unfortunately, in the good away days. So I suppose swings and roundabouts in a sense. But certainly, I mean, you're going into these two games with the opportunity, having put away Morton as convincingly as we had, that we have the option whereby, exactly as you know, as we've been discussing already, that the strength and depth means that without necessarily weakening the team, if any at all, you can give perhaps the likes of McManus an opportunity, maybe get 45 minutes if working towards a start for Molt for the Rangers game, you can give him another 45 minutes or even work towards a 90 minutes in some of these games. It means you can give like Rose as well, who's, I believe, he didn't play too many games towards the latter half of last season. You can give him an opportunity to build up done as well. So we're in a good position that way, whereby we can still benefit from it. But clearly, as you say, there's a nice wee feel good factor at the moment, and I think it'd be important that we go. Robinson made the point that we kind of got bored almost at one stage during the Queen's Park game. That certainly wasn't evident on Saturday, and you would hope that kind of attitude will carry on in these two games, and you play as positively, score as many goals, boost the confidence, boost the fitness and preparation for going into that opening game of the league campaign.
You mentioned there that I suppose a significant thing is you win on Tuesday night, and that's you secured qualification. I know it's looking very likely. We've put ourselves in a very nice position, but that 3 points would mathematically secure qualification to the round of 16. That would then set up a potential dead rubber against Berwick in the final game. But with it being so close to the Rangers game, the last fixture before we kick off the Premiership season, you would hope that Stephen Robinson will have it drilled into the players that the two good performances are important as well.
That's it. I mean, it keeps emphasising the point during his interviews and in the pre-match press conferences that there's still an element of pre-season about it, and that they are still working towards that opening fixture. So he seems to have it in his mind that, you know, he's working towards that, and I'm fairly sure he'll have that instilled in the players as well. As I say, it does give us options, and, you know, that luxury of being able to do a bit of both, working towards the game plus still giving, you know, our fringe players an opportunity for involvement. And it's really just a case of tailoring how that goes. I suspect we're going to go over that, you know, a similar lineup to get the. We don't want any shocks, put it that way, in Tuesday evening. So we get the result, and then thereafter, once that's secured, they can then start looking to see, you know, how he wants to play it in terms of the Rangers game.
Jay, are you able to mention the Well Society and Motherwell Community Trust efforts for Saturday's fixture yet? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the plan is that we're just going to be welcoming some Syrian guests to the game. About 50-odd of the Syrian refugees who are now residing in both North and South Lanarkshire. So they'll be coming to Fir Park for the Berwick Rangers game, just, you know, almost certainly. So, yeah, there'll be a wee announcement and all that in the coming week. And hopefully they can come and enjoy the game. Who knows, they might decide further down the line to come back, and we might have one or two new fans, hopefully, on the back of it.
Buster, again, we've mentioned that there is a feel-good factor. That's another story that obviously is encouraging, and it's something that the club should be looking at and welcoming new faces to Fir Park. And yeah, the Society and the Community Trust both should be very much commended for these efforts.
It's absolutely brilliant to hear. You know, these people have been forced from their homes. As you say, they're refugees. They've been forced from their homes. So even if, you know, coming to the football takes their mind off something like that for a wee bit, fantastic. And, you know, you never know. Is it, if we pick up four or five regulars for it, then that's absolutely fantastic as well. You know, I don't know much about it myself. You know, Jay's the one who'll be able to fill us in, as I say, when it gets confirmed and stuff, whatever happens next week. But it's fantastic that the club and the trust, the community trust, are looking at even doing these things. So it's, you know, well done. Kudos to them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's worth pointing out. I mean, it's obviously tongue-in-cheek, the kind of idea that we might get a few fans out of it. At the end of the day, Motherwell, by any definition now, is a community club, whether it's the, you know, the fact that there's strong ties in the community in terms of identity, you know, with the Steelworks and all that kind of thing, whether it is the Community Trust and the excellent work they do, and obviously the fact this is the first ever season that there's community ownership. So it's more just about, you know, making sure that the Well Society's taking the lead. You know, obviously the Community Trust does their excellent work in the community, and it's about time the Well Society was, you know, acting on the fact that it's a community-owned club, and we have these, you know, new neighbours basically, who have, as Buster says, they've been forced to their homes due to some, you know, I imagine some of them have probably seen things that we can't even begin to imagine, and they now live within our communities, and it's more about, you know, being on hand to kind of give something back to the community. So looking forward to it, and hopefully if the players could put in the kind of performance they've done in the last two cup games, then I'm sure our Surrey and guests will enjoy it.
Andy, 3,113 at yesterday's game, a pay at the gate game, obviously not covered in the season ticket. There's quite a lot of people on holiday at this time of year. We're just on the back end of the fair fortnight. That's quite an encouraging crowd for me. I think Morton had just less than 500 fans there yesterday. I know the pricing was favoured, £12 and £6. It's favourable pricing. I think it might have tempted a few extra along, but when you consider that people are paying entry on top of the fact that they just bought their season tickets, perhaps been away a summer holiday, it's an encouraging crowd, and you would hope that that would continue into the season, particularly with the reported increase in season ticket sales, the £20 kids season tickets, which is an excellent initiative and will hopefully secure us some fans of the future there as well. So that's it. When you think there would have been games last season where the crowd was very much the same for a league fixture, so it's pretty positive there as well.
Yeah, it was decent. I'm not quite sure how it compares. I haven't really looked to see how the comparison is with other kind of games.
Sorry, it was more than the Thistle St Mirren game, which is a game that I would kind of put on a similar par. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then that's ideal. I think we have. In fairness to our support, we have always given the kind of League Cup a bit of respect that it deserves. I can remember lots of occasions whereby we've taken really healthy supports to away games when others have been poorly attended. You know, I can think of, you know, nights at Livingston, for example, even going back to Morton before, you know, the last time we kind of played there, and a couple of times going back to Campbell and the likes. And I think we have always kind of treated the tournament, you know, with a measure of respect, and our kind of support has turned out for it. You hope that people that have been there yesterday will be encouraged to come back. Certainly, it's been interesting to read the increase in the season ticket sales, the like for like figures. And again, that's a positive. If you can marry the two of them together, where people are kind of coming along, seeing that, and it may entice them into getting season tickets and, you know, kind of committing to going more regularly, then that has to be the hope. The more people that we can obviously get going to the club, it's fairly basic stuff, but the more people we get going through the gate, the more the budget is, the more that they can do, and likes are both in terms of on the park, you know, the increase of budgets for players, whether that's trying to keep hold of existing players, whether that's attracting new players, whether it's doing things, being able to do the kind of type of community stuff that Jay has mentioned earlier on. Obviously, the more fans that we get, the more money there is in the kitty there, the more we're able to do, boost the profile and hopefully better club on the park, better club off the park. But, you know, the more people we can go, then obviously the better it is for us all.
And kind of staying with that, the club have reintroduced the open day, which returns next Sunday, I think that'll be the 30th of...
No, that is right.
The 30th of July. Again, Buster, that's something that the kids will go along to. They'll get to meet their idols. Again, it might just encourage some of the younger generation to start to follow Motherwell, which would be a great thing. And if you can get the kids on side, then that's half the battle with the parents as well. So it's all geared towards more bums and seats, and the club are making real efforts to do so. So there's got to be a lot of praise for the people behind the scenes at the club just now, working very hard to make Fir Park a better place to visit, and also encouraging people to visit in the first place.
Yep, exactly as you said there, sorry. That's exactly what it's for. It's geared up to, you know, encourage people to come along, take a look at, you know, what's on offer, meet the players, and as you say, hopefully pick up one or two extra bums and seats. You know, I believe that I'll be there at some point as well, so it's the first one that I've ever attended.
If you were in any doubt whether you were going to go, then that's a real selling point. You can also meet Buster.
Yeah, if you're looking for a fat specky guy, he's a shout. there's also a sevens tourney, which I believe some of us will be taking part in. So it's all about having a good laugh and having fun. No doubt I'll end up breaking myself and having to go to hospital or something that night. So, but it's good to see the copper still, you know, sort of putting these things on, and you know, I take it all comes back to the being in the community and getting, you know, the local community involved. So get the kids along, get the families along, and as you say, see what happens, see if it can generate any interest for people who might not have been as interested.
I don't know what they've got involved, what they've got set up for the club, but I can remember, I remember a couple of them in the past, like a while back, and you basically need star player, a table, and a big long queue for them autographs. I mean, there's a famous one in McFadden there, when he was, and the queue for his autograph was like stretching basically half the way around the south stand and right the way up to like the tunnel. And I suspect it'll be along similar lines for Lohi Moult if he's there and, you know, come the weekend. But they can only be good. I mean, we've got the kind of signing sessions that we have for the calendar nights and stuff before Christmas now as well. So it's not quite as rare an occasion as it maybe was in the past. But, you know, the opportunity if, like, you know, your star player there, your favourite player to sign your strip or your photographs or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's great. The interaction for your younger fans, I dare say some of your older fans as well, being able to kind of, you know, have a wee word with the player and, you know, get them to sign something. That's fantastic. I mean, a couple of hours worth, but the kind of the value that you can put in those couple of hours for the player's time is, you know, it's fantastic. And I'm sure we can all have instances we recollect our childhood when you kind of see your hero and, you know, you get the autograph or get to shake his hand or something like that. I mean, that's memories, you know, it's good stuff. So definitely applaud the club for bringing that back this year, and I'm sure it'll be a success. And that's before you start taking into the fact that, you know, the kind of tournament after it as well. So it can only be a good day, I'm sure.
Well, as you said, I know it could be one of your last times or last opportunities to actually speak to Lohi Moult or meet him or get a photo of him or get an autograph of him, you know, because if he keeps banging in these goals, you know, he's decided that he's a free kick specialist this year. I don't know where that's been for the last 2 years, but he's decided he's like, I'm not getting the full games, I'm hitting every free kick. So he's, you know, it could be the last time you get a wee photo with him. So come along, join that massive queue, and then you can, you know, trickle out to the other ones. You've got two or three people waiting once you've done that.
Last week we discussed potential outgoings at the club. One player has left over the course of the week, Craig Clay, moving on to Leyton Orient. Jay, no transfer fee involved there. A guy that perhaps a wee bit unlucky to fall down the pecking order, but he was very much an example of a do a job type player. Served the club pretty well last year. I think it was over 30 appearances he made. Possibly just not quite to the level that was required, and seems like quite a sensible move for him to move on and pursue first team football elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's one of those moves that is basically a winner for everybody involved. I liked Craig Clay. You know, he seemed a really, you know, from off the park, even just some of the tweets that the other players like Cadden and all that were sending him when he was leaving. You know, it seems as though he was really highly thought of, seemed a genuinely good guy on the park. You know, he always gave his all. He was hard working, gave us a good wee bounce about up at Inverness, that game in between Christmas and New Year, his wind-assisted goal. I think originally he would have been brought in as a squad player, as someone to, you know, fill in here or there. And of course, what ended up happening was, you know, just with injuries and suspensions and the like, he ended up probably playing a lot more than than perhaps Mark McGee expected him to in the first place. But again, yeah, I just think maybe not quite at the level required to play for Motherwell, which is fair enough. He gave his all, did well enough without really, blowing MD away with his ability. And I think, he can go, nobody will wish him any, ill or anything like that. It's all good wishes. I think most Motherwell fans can acknowledge that, maybe he just wasn't up to it, but fair play. He did his best and on he goes. And I think it's a great move for him. He gets to move back down the road. He'll probably be getting into a team that, the first team opportunities are going to be a lot more. I think you look at our squad this season and there's no way Craig Clive is going to be playing. Not only have we got, a fantastic central midfield partnership, McHugh and Biggie, but, as we've mentioned, Cadden's playing more centrally. McLean has been, featured in pre-season games. You've got Campbell there. So I don't think we would have seen Craig Clive much this season anyway. So, yep, certainly a move that I think everybody can be happy with.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't disagree with anything you've said there. Sorry, I was actually reading up something and then forgot to actually talk. I think that's pretty much covered everything that we need to for this week. Andrew, thanks for coming on, and hopefully we'll have you on plenty of times during the upcoming season.
No, it's great. Always good to be on and here whenever you need me.
Buster, happy birthday to you, and thanks again.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Jeff, thank you. I've not really got any kind of message for you.
Can I also just point out, Buster obviously mentioned the Sevens tournament on Sunday. It's the Welsh Society that are organising it, and if MDA wants to register a team, you've got until about Tuesday to get in touch with the Welsh Society and put your team down. So if MD's got a few mates that they play weekly with or whatever and want to turn up on Sunday, about half one onwards on the AstroTurf behind his stand, get involved and drop Craig at the Welsh Society an email before or on Tuesday.
Yeah, certainly. The more teams, the better, and hopefully it's a real success and makes plenty of money, and then Les will put his hand in his pocket and double that money as well, which is obviously the key aim of the Welsh Society in the coming months anyway. We'll be back next Monday. Keith Lasley will join us to preview the upcoming Scottish Premiership season, which will start with a fixture against Rangers on the 6th of August. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. As I say, we'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.